Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight, an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Our weekly topic focuses on real issues confronting families and communities. Reverend Dr. Reuben Y. Dockery, yours truly is your host. From time to time, we engage experts in various disciplines of study and to engage them in provocative conversations. But most importantly, we invite you, our listening audience, to join us and to share your ideas, your questions, your comments. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to our topic and that we show mutual respect for one another on the air. The hot topic in the national news cycle today is the reenactment of the race fight. However, the real focus, in my view, should be on how we raise our children in this country so that they have no time for battles over superficial arguments such as racial hatred and bigotry. Nobody wins. Over the past 40 years or better, too many African-American males have learned in such a manner that they've received the wrong kind of graduation. The topic tonight is the wrong kind of graduation. Feel free to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We have what we believe is a good conversational topic for you tonight, and we're going to go into our monologue. And tonight my monologue is based on a workbook that I have authored for fatherhood development, and the focus is on helping us to understand, more importantly, how to raise our children, male and female, but specifically young males. Framework for fatherly instruction, understanding the male growth process. Yours truly is the author. You can find this on our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Go to the contact tab and hover over it, and you'll see the back store. there, you'll see it. We ask that you make a contribution to us. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We'd love to get that information out to you if you'd like to get a copy of it, amongst other things that you can get from our batch store. All right, having said that, we're going to go now to our monologue. Again, the topic is the wrong kind of graduation. Malachi, the fourth chapter in the sixth verse, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. It is important for us to bring about positive social change in our culture today. Current research on fatherhood involvement suggests that the role of fathers is very important in the rearing of children, specifically the preparing of boys to become responsible adults. Continues on the issue of, quote, untrustworthiness of males, end quote. Relationships of all kinds are threatened by conflicts between people, assuming that because of chronological growth and typical masculine traits such as facial hair or muscular build, they're interacting with a man who is well-adjusted in his social preparation. Sadly, males lose out on career opportunities, quality time with their children, and fulfillment in marriage as a result of poor fatherly instructions during their early social development. A common adage among single and or divorced females, quote, all men are dogs, end quote. I'm sure you may have heard that a time or two. Perhaps one of the most misunderstood processes, however, in our society today is the measurable growth process for males. This workshop manual that we're discussing tonight is prepared with offering instructions in male development that will assist women in finding good qualities in men, their boys and men, fathers, and turning their hearts to their children and society as a whole, and trusting in the greatest possibilities of wayward young males of all ages. Perhaps it has been said before that one of the most endangered species is the African American male. They are becoming extinct. Growing into the status of a man and father is probably one of the most, again, as I said, misunderstood things that you can deal with. Now, everybody recognizes the fact that children can't be born without a male parent, a progenitor. However, it is not very well understood that there is an identifiable process of becoming a responsible father. You don't be born in a world of fathers. Now, the manual that I'm making reference to, Framework for Fatherly Instructions, Understanding the Male Growth Process, seeks to educate its readers and all those who may come into it about the four identifiable stages that a male goes through to become a father. And let me just briefly share those. Regardless of who you are, what your ethnic orientation is, the texture of your skin, if you are a male, you're born with masculine reproductive organs. And at birth, you are identified by those organs and hormones, the dominance of certain hormones. Over time, you grow and you develop into what we call a boy. You know, most boys, present company included, can be a little cocky, a little naive about who they are and what they're all about and where they're going without the right instruction. But with appropriate pro-social instruction, they can learn how not to be so aggressive but to assert themselves accordingly. Then the focus is on the chronological cycle in growth and development from birth to boyhood to manhood. Where are you as you grow into your body and you become bigger and your body parts begin to develop more? Then there is the fact that, again, we know your gender or the fact that you are male biologically. We got a little storm here in the city here. But then there are psychological characteristics as well that come with it. And these help to identify where an individual is emotionally in their mental state. But then lastly, there are social needs. And what I mean by that is, and we describe this in my workbook, that through the social development of a child, there are certain lessons that they need to learn. For instance, when it comes to knowing how to respect women, the first lesson that a father teaches his son is to respect his mother and or his sisters, grandmothers, and how to appropriately maintain a distance, and to engage them and interact with them in a way that is not offensive or disrespectful. Just a sample of one of those things. Once you leave the boyhood stage, then you grow into a higher development of a man. We know you're a man because you are not playing games anymore. The Bible said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's how we know a man, because he's dependable and he is accountable for what is left in his charge. If he bites off an apple, he doesn't throw it on the ground and leave it, or take food out of the refrigerator and bite off and leave it, but he consumes it and get rid of his trash as well. That's the nature of a man. That man began to look at his existence and seek for further continuance. So he finds him, the Bible said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. He's looking for that good thing, you understand? And from there, this man is able to plan to become a husband to that wife. Amen, somebody. That means he's committing himself solely to her for the purpose of building family. I'm feeling my help right now, but I'm going to try to stay focused here. And then that husband and that wife collectively agree that God made us to be fruitful and to multiply. And so subsequently what they do is they began to procreate life out of obedience to the Creator. And then what we find is that when that life comes, that man assumes the responsibility for wife and children, and he is righteous before God, letting God be his lead and his guide. That is the august fatherhood. So you see how we didn't just jump over the river and slide through the woods. We had to go someplace to get to be a father. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's how it is. Leslie, let me just talk about some of the aspects of the workbook that you can get, again, from our back page on the website. And I'll give that website out again for those of you that may just be tuning in. The explanation sections of the workbook or the manual helps readers to gain an understanding of the defining characteristics of each of the four measurable stages: male, boyhood, manhood, and fatherhood, as they go through the development. This venue allows participants to consider the key experiences that shape the character of a male during the various stages that we just previously spoke of as they grow through life. Then we use case studies, real case studies. Yours truly, we've been, part of our doctoral studies was to engage people in various workshops and activities and surveys and things of that nature through the process of observation and participation, we learn from them what's real for them, and we put that in the form of case studies. And that allows us to really speak to the realities for individuals. And then lastly, we have reflective exercises. And they're geared to offer readers and participants the opportunity to actively relate the experiences either that they've had or that they've missed out on. Most importantly, we want them to learn how to do that. And you don't have to feel bad if you missed out on it. The key is that you learn how to get better right now. I've met a lot of young men who really desire to be better to their children as fathers, and that's an admirable thing. I certainly encourage that. Okay. The number, again, is 657-383-0944. Give us a call here. We love to entertain your question, your comment in this conversation, the wrong kind of graduation. I guess you can see that young men who grow up without certain important instructions, they grow up to wind up going to jail, or to juvenile, dropping out of school, or to the grave. And that's a sad thing. Part of what we're doing is trying to turn that around. I'm happy now to call on my very, very good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Doing fine. How you doing, man, Pastor Dockery?
Man, I'm better to hear your voice, my brother. I'm better to hear your voice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, watch yes, out now. Praise God for that. Yes, sir. Mighty man you are, man.
Praise God. Praise God. You heard the monologue. What about that, Pastor? Now, are we under a misconception about what it means to be a father, be a man? And the question we asked in our Facebook post is, how did I come from the loving care of a parent to becoming a juvenile delinquent to becoming a part of the prison system? Help me with that, Brother Pastor.
Well, I heard the monologue. I heard it very clear for the most part. I was able to endure because you was just putting it right there where it needed to be to give me a reminder of what it is to actually be a man, man, and how to deal with recognizing whether I am a boy or am I a man at a certain age.
Mm.
And I couldn't help but to say, man, you was putting that weight down on me, you know, giving me the chance to recall and say, man, there's nothing wrong with confession, but it is a lot right with it. And so I confess, man, I can't help but to say I confess that all the things you were talking about, you were talking right to me, man. I blew
God.
It. In other
well,
words,
join the
I
club.
Blew it.
Join the club. Join the club.
here's the key. Here's the key. What I really love about it, when I heard you say, when I was a child.
Watch it now.
And
watch it now.
And see, that sounded like to me you was bringing forth information, something that I didn't know anything about. You know, I didn't know anything about that, man.
I see.
I didn't practice godly behavior because I didn't have the instruction from the instructor. You know, so now I can accept it a lot better because I would say, man, what if I had known that? How would I proceed? Carry myself then. And I say, well, it didn't happen, so I can't, you know, say one way or the other. But I can say, now that I know. I know now that I didn't know then.
Okay.
And I
say,
man, I blew it out. If I knew what it was like to be a man and, you know, to get out and to survive and to, you know, make it on your own and to stand up and say,
identify
yourself. You know what I mean? It's amazing, man. I thank God for what you brought forth. And if you will, you know, allow me to elaborate on that because say to you what happened, you know, a friend of mine found out that I had a daughter, you know, and he said, man, He said, man, God gave you a little girl, man. He said, man, you're going to have a whole lot to deal with. Because he knew where I came from and the things that I used to do. You know, I penned it in the book, so there's no shame in what it is that I've done.
Right.
That I was glorifying what I've done, but I had to, you know, recall when I was hearing you talk about it, man. And it's devastating to think that you know something when you don't. I thought I knew how to treat a woman, you see?
My Lord.
But that was up under my own instructions and what I have learned from the people outside of the will of God. When I say of the will of God, it wasn't being no instructions in the Bible, you see? And so to hear the instructions in the Bible, it's like, man, some powerful tools in this Bible, man. It makes a person think before he carries something out. So let me, again, you know, thank you for bringing that up and to say I mistreated women, man. The point where it dawned on me when I wrote the book that, boy, you got a mama, a sister, you know what I mean? And it started to weigh on me, man. I said, man. The good thing is that God was a forgiving God, man. He understood that I was ignorant and didn't know any better, didn't know how to treat a woman, didn't know anything about that. And but when I became a man, I noticed that I decided to put away childish things because how am I going to bring up this little girl, man? And then not thinking I'm bringing up myself as a father to this child. Mm-hmm. You know, her mother handed her over to me. And then she wouldn't mind me saying that because she felt like she would be better with me than she would with her. And I was thinking, like, how could that be? But yet when she extended her to me around when she was about 3 months old, I was already with her, you know, attending to her when she was newborn. But at the age of 3 months, she handed her over to me. She'd be better with you than she would with me. And I reached out. And I received her. And I'm glad I did because I learned a lot. I learned how to respect more and all those things, man. So, you know, thank God for what you brought up. It's interesting.
Let me just say that I had the pleasure of meeting her to some degree, and she's trying to be a fine young lady. You've done a pretty good job, sir. You've done a pretty good job. Got yourself on
I appreciate
the back there,
that. That's all right, brother. Thank you.
So we got 1098 on the line with us. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine today, sir. How are you?
I won't complain. You know, I looked in the mirror this morning, and I saw the same fat head but good-looking guy that I've been knowing all these years. It didn't change yet, so I said I'm glad to know something.
Go ahead.
Any comment on our topic for tonight, the wrong kind of graduate?
I'll let it get warmed up, and I'll see which direction that it's headed. I read the page talking about racism, bigotry, and things of that nature. I just want to see where it's headed. I know his picture had, young men, you know, in handcuffs and leg irons, you know, on their way to a juvenile facility. Me. I blame no one, you know, but myself. You know, I came from a, pretty decent household. But I love that, you know, during that period of time when I was younger, you know, I love that asshole behavior. You know, I love that excitement, the adrenaline, you know, you know, I mean, I paid for it dearly, but life get a test. You learn a lesson later, and believe me, I've learned a lot of lessons, and I'm still learning today. But let me see where this is gonna go, and then maybe you'll let me respond later.
Sounds like a winner. If you're listening, you're just tuning in. The number 657-330-944. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna now. We got Akon with us. I don't know if y'all know who Akon is, and Young Jeezy. And we got Eric Warden, that group called War. They got a little message for us tonight to tie into our conversation. Let's go quickly to Akon, and he's going to talk to us about being locked up. Now, if you ain't never been locked up, maybe this will be education. If you have been locked up, here's what I want you to think about, though. I want you to think about right now where people are out protesting all over the country now because they want to tear down statues and monuments, and they want to essentially rewrite American history. But I want you to think about what's on the minds of young cats who are scrapping day by day to make it. And I want, when we come back on the other side, I want to see if this is where they mind is or is it somewhere else. Just a minute here.
I'm steady trying to find a motive. Why do what I do? The freedom ain't getting no closer. No matter how far I go, my car is stolen. Registration. Please stop patrolling. Patrolling. That didn't stop me and I get locked up. They won't let me out. Forgot about me. Commissary is getting empty. Cellmates eating food without me. Can't wait to get out and move forward with my life. Got a family that loves me and wants me to do right. But since I'm here locked up, they won't let me out.
Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities in urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
We're talking tonight from the topic, The Wrong Kind of Graduation. The number 657-383-0944. Feel free to give us a call as you're listening tonight and share your comments, your questions. We honor them, and we'll be glad to engage you. Gentlemen, there was a little fellow who was riding his bike, and he was doing pretty good, got up pretty good speed, and all of a sudden he hit a slick spot. And he went hydroplane. By the time he landed, he done busted up his arms and his knees and hit his head a little bit. And as he laid there, a passerby said, "Man, you hurt. You bust your head. Look, look at your arm. Look at your leg. You're crying and everything. Boy, you really messed up." The guy, in all of his agony, looked at him and said, "You mean to tell me you're going to tell me what I know already? When you gonna help me out?" That's where these young kids are.
Yeah, man.
Huh? That's what these young kids are. Go ahead.
Amazing. No, amazing. I just amazing to that. Keep on. Don't stop there.
They don't need us to tell them that their life is a living hell every day, and that as a young boy, they're trying to wear grown man's shoes in the world. They don't need us to tell them that. They scared too. And they mind, they locked up. And won't nobody let them out. They want to do the right thing, but who taught them anything, right? Other than how to hustle in the street. So this is really why we focus on this. And again, I'm going to go back to the manual, with the focus of our discussion tonight. And that is, again, framework for fatherly instruction, understanding the male growth process. When you got a male, that young male don't just automatically become a man that is well-suited and mature and stable in his thinking. He has to be properly guided. He need a coach, somebody to model for him what that responsibility is, you know. Now, what happens is, if you're like me, you grow up after you've been too far away from your dad. My dad was around, and we knew how to find him. I'm grateful for that. But a lot of the guys who grew up with didn't have nobody, right? And we tried to run with them and keep up with them in the streets. And the mindset was, we're going to prove that we bad. Not only are we bad, but we're Billy bad.
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We ain't scared of nothing. You know what I mean?
Man.
And so at the end of the day, you put yourself in situations where you have to step up like a man, then you got to come on bring it like a man. But you ain't ready. You're scared, really. That's why they go grab them pistols, see? Because there used to be a time, y'all tell me if I'm wrong, when you go toe-to-toe with a cat if you had a disagreement. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Y'all going to fight it out and come back the next day.
That's right.
Live young cats,
young cats, they quick to grab a gun because they're scared they'll get mopped out there. They don't know nothing about fighting. Go ahead, Outcast. You going to say something?
Oh, no, I'm just saying you're right, you know. But thing is they get caught, man, they would be gone. See, because that's my plan. Yeah.
No, you're right.
It's cakewalk being in prison. they portray one way on television, he gets locked up 2 or 3 minutes later, he walking out of prison. No, it don't work like that.
That ain't totally different world.
I was listening talking about the young guy riding the bicycle down the street. Well, was he on this street? Was he on another street? Was he in another neighborhood? I can, learn your road.
Learn your road.
Even driving, I'm not going to fly up and down streets that I'm not familiar with. Learn your road. Learn your ground. This is when a father come in. This is when a uncle come in, a big brother, a big sister.
Right.
This is where the pro-social activity began, to help lead and guide. I knew not to go to prison. No, I knew right from wrong, but hey, that was my thing. I went against the grain. But I do realize that you have a lot of children that have, no type of guidance. These are the ones that I realize that you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're saying something that's really key, man, because I find that a lot of times when you come to other men and you say we need to be unified on our effort to help the young men, the problem is many of them are not mature enough themselves. They're still wrestling with a boy inside of them, with all due respect now. And some of them
I do.
Some of them in pulpits. Yeah. Some of them are in positions to influence other people's lives, and they still wrestling with their own boy.
I agree.
And
no objection. I totally agree.
Yeah, so what happens is you get all those guys together, you get the young brothers together, and if those old cats' heads ain't right, they just going to mess them up some more. Is that right, Pastor Wong?
That's usually what happens, though. That's basically the lineup. me because I didn't even know, you know, it's an everyday fight. And that's the thing, not a every other day fight. This is an everyday fight. And, you know, I remember years ago, you know, this group that you know that I love so much brought forth a song talking about out in the real world. It's an everyday fight. You may have a job, you know, and graduate from school and go on to college. You see, but you can't graduate yet until you get some of that real street knowledge. You see? And so I understand why they said that. Because, you know, see, street knowledge is not every other day.
Right.
You know, this thing here is real, man. You can get captured and lured into a way of life as innocent as your eyes are. And what you really mean, and you're coming up, you was brought up in such a way, but you still see the activity that's going on, and you can easily get captured into it if you don't have good guidance. And that that happens, you know. And so being that I have experienced that, my partner, when both of those brothers went to prison for those many years, and I spoke about it in the book, you know, one had two life sentences, you know, and the other one, you know, did almost as much time as the one who had two life sentences did. He, one with two lives, did 29 years, 2 months, and 29 days in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, you know, did almost 20 years off and on. So, and then his damn, you know, with the insanity, thinking that they left me out here by myself. Now, you know something had to be wrong with me, you know, talking about, man, they done left me out here by myself. They didn't want to go to prison, but they ended up behind bars. And then here I am, I'm locked up without being behind bars. So I'm in prison in my mind. Mm-hmm. A lot of people may not even think that you can be in prison being behind bars. But you can. The word even said, you know, my soul was in prison. So that's a devastating thing. That's a terrible way to live. And and right now, you know, we need to do all we can do to help these brothers and sisters, man, who are out in the world and haven't made it behind bars yet, but yet still their minds are locked down.
Boy, you saying something about
Wow. That's the truth.
Yeah, so that's what we're striving to do here, man, and to put encouraging ways and solutions and, you know, things like that. So it's on target, man. Tonight, like I said, you hit me so hard, man. I tell you, you know, when I recall it, it gets to me when I think about how fooled I was without knowing and, you know, didn't have the right guidance because my father was not there. And, you know, and we was talking and all right, but he just wasn't there. And, you know, it's tough, man. And I tell you, man, it's just a challenge, but, you know, you're doing some good things, Pastor Doctor. That's all. I just want to put that out there, man.
Pray for
great, great.
Thank you, sir. Pray for us. Well, you know, my part of my experience is that the few cities that we went to previously with the other seminars, I try to go and respectfully say that I want to make sure I come correct. And everybody in the room, I'll give you an example of one of them. it was about maybe 40 guys that were in this particular setting and venue. And several of the guys came in real loud. You understand what I'm saying? Almost like they were squaring their corner. They want everybody to know they're in the house. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And one guy was eager. One guy was eager for everybody to hear him. And so, you know, I said to him, there will be an opportunity for you to display some leadership. If you just give me a minute, we're going to plug in. Well, hurry up. Let's get to it. Make a long story short, when it really came to opening up our hearts and showing our hands, this was one of the brothers who broke down the most, man. And the truth of the matter is that loud, boisterous facade was just a cover-up for the little boy on the inside. And begs the question, who's going to cry for that little boy?
Who's going to cry for that little boy? All right. Goodness.
Clearly, brethren, when I think about the plight of these young cats in the street, I don't think they really care about a statue. I don't think they care about anybody but them dead presidents on that money that they're trying to chase. That's the only one they care about.
Huh? I mean, that's true, bro.
And they ain't trying to tear that up. They ain't trying to tear that up.
I'm glad you stated that. You know what, Reverend Doctor? I made this statement. You know, if they remove all of the statues, would that remove racism, bigotry, prejudice?
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
And you mentioned the dollar bill. What about George Washington, Lincoln, and the rest of them?
I want some Benjamin. Hey, I want to talk to Benjamin Franklin.
Exactly.
It's all about the Benjamins, baby.
You know, to me, I really paid, you know, statues or anything in that nature, you know, too much attention. Like you said, going back to the dollar bill, you know, you that being Franklin, this wouldn't matter. At the end of the day, the problem still would not be solved. These, you
it
know,
would.
The racism, bigotry, and things of that nature, it is taught. If it's not taught in home, a lot of times it deals with the environment that a person dwell in and is there.
Right.
And
right.
when they end up in prison, you know, or get locked up, period, they want to cry like little babies. No, don't cry now. You were a big man, you were a big woman when you were indulging what you was in that antisocial behavior that you were indulging in. Suffered consequences. Now, you know, concerning the father, let me say this and then I'll stop. Concerning the father, I only saw my father once in my life, but I talked to him numerous times on the phone, numerous times. He lived in Chicago, right over there in that Cabrini, over there in Cabrini Green.
What?
All down through Jewtown in Chicago.
Even the
period of time that I lived in Chicago or 47th and Woodlawn, you know what?
Wow.
When I was there, my father never entered my mind.
Exactly.
I was working at different restaurants and things in that nature. But as a little boy, even before I started school, I was really about four or five years old. His uncle came up and he said, you know what he told me? He said, you're just
what's
like that? Your father. You know what I told Mom?
What?
His
what?
Uncle. I said, no, I'm going to be better. And I was better. I'm still better. You know, I was there with my children. I didn't leave them, you know, even though, you know, men and women separated or whatever, you know, I always took care of them. Never paid child support or anything of that nature and had custody of my last two. My attitude during that period of time was not negative. I didn't want to take a gun and do this or do that. You know, like I said, the little things I did because I, you know, I got enjoyment out of it. But you know, I paid the price. I'll hold right there.
Sure. No, you raise great points, man. You raise great point. And the reality is, you know, you look at, you got a 15-year-old on the street. He's trapped. He got a 9mm Glock, right?
That's right.
And he got a pocket full of dope and another pocket full of money. What does he know? What do he know, Pastor? What does he know?
Man, and you say he got two things.
I'll answer that
coming.
Question.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, hold on. Hold on 1 second, Alcat. Hold your thought, Alcat. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I want to, you're right. You say that registered real quick. So yeah, tell us exactly what that means, man, because that was something right there. Because I feel like he had two things. Come on, Outcast, tell us what it is, man.
Talk to us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a gun. You got a pocket full of dope. He know what's going on. He know what time it is. He know if he get caught, he going to the penitentiary. And then, too, you have robbers out there. That's why he got this gun on him. You know?
Right.
I mean, you going are you gonna do time or you going to die? You going to sell your dope and you going to survive?
So let me ask you this question then. That's a good point. Let me ask you this question. Where does he have time to think about getting an education and looking toward the future when he, every day of his life, he's on the grind with that hustle like that. And you know, I can be taken out any minute. Well, how do we get him to trust God and to look toward heaven? You understand what I'm saying, Alvin?
Man. Yes, I do. And I do realize nothing happens overnight. I go back to Reverend Waller. You have to plant that seed. And
right,
also,
right.
You have to be very pro-social. You don't just see this person one or two times. You have to continuously go, continuously be around. And perhaps, just perhaps something will snap. Even if Reverend Waller or you try to talk to him, even concerning God, they have been in the midst of people saying there is no God. Don't believe in God. Ministers are no good. Again, being pro-social and trying to get him out the atmosphere of all that negativity. It's not an easy job. I realize that. I was fortunate. You know, I had a role model. You know, it wasn't a football player or a boxer or anything in that nature. I had my uncle John. You know, he was a military man, you know. And, you know, the things that I was doing, he would always talk to me, you know. He would always talk to me. And he said, you can do better. I know you can do this. I know you can do that. You know, I could always go to him, you know, concerning whatever I needed or wanted. He was there. And
okay. All right. Well, listen, y'all, check out Young Jeezy says about being a survivor.
Okay.
A survivor. Now, listen up now. You survive. Now, these songs are somewhat old, but they're still relevant today because they speak to the mentality of the streets right now. If you're careful, just like during you guys' days. When you heard certain songs, it spoke to the mindset of the streets. In the life of young cats right now who are struggling, this is the mindset. Check out what young Jesus said here. Did you catch that? I'm out in the streets. I've been there since a juvenile. I ain't worried about getting no sleep. I sleep when I what? When I die. Watch this. Malachi 4:6 says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Is that the nature of the curse we're facing now, brother? That we got to get daddies back in the life of their children. So they won't be saying things like, "I've been out here since I was a juvenile, And I ain't worried about sleeping. I sleep when I die.
Man, goodness. That's
so somebody help me with that now, like 3 years old.
Well, no, I mean, you know, the words sound good, along with the little beat, but believe me, he sleep. He sleep.
What do you say with
you
the
know,
little
when
beat?
It's all over. Oh, yeah, he sleep. I mean, you know, I mean, it sound good, but to me, it's a total lie. Oh, you sleep. Yeah,
but you
I
know
mean,
what,
everybody
though?
Sleep.
But you know what? I don't mean to cut you off, Outkast. That's his reward.
Go ahead.
No, that's his reward, to be able to hook up with his partner and to rock to the beat and to live this little short-lived cycle in the street. That's his reward. That's all he knows. But if nobody teaches, amen, somebody. If say his biological father is dead or is in jail, he can't get to him, right? There's a barrier. If no grown man that is righteous and got righteousness in his heart goes and reaches that young brother, what else does he know, man, but a short-lived life?
Yeah,
and I agree.
Go ahead,
that's
Pastor.
That's without a doubt, man. I mean, and that's the situation that is so ironic, you know, that the evidence is proven that the mindset is so strong when something is instilled in you and you have been overtaken. And when I say overtaken, that means that you have no more control over making decisions of righteousness at that point. And that's why the Word of God say, you know, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, you know, so go and restore the person. But that's the thing about it. Who is spiritual now? Who's able to do the thing? In the church, that's what you would think. I mean, I would think that if someone, and I'm, you know, I'm very ignorant and unlearned in many areas of my life. I noticed that because I was at one that was captured. But when I came to myself and realized, I'm like, man, the people in the church should have the answer, because that's where the Bible is poured out at, you know what I mean, on an ongoing basis. And so if they have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding and the willingness to say, okay, we have a greater concern than just going to church. We have to do something about the situation that's causing our children to be in the condition that they are in. And if they're not doing that, then it may be because they don't care or they don't know. You know, and I'm okay with either one of them that it is, but it's just like, be honest. Don't pretend like you have the solution if you don't. And if you don't have it, seek to get it. And, you know, sometimes the solution is right in your hand. So if the book is right there before you, maybe you're not popping it open to get it, or maybe someone is not teaching you. Because this is the thing that I've learned. When the students show up, the teacher will appear.
Street life.
There are some teachers out in the street, and many students are showing up and being taught in the manner of destruction, you know what I'm saying, because they won't fit in. And, you know, it's the going thing, man. And I just thank God, man, for the solution, because there is one. And that's the only thing that keeps me striving and believing, you know, and reaching out. And I be drained many times, man, and when I go out. I really do. I give it all to God. I don't want to you know, to leave nothing undone. So I sometimes think to myself, man, you done poured out so much, man, but you don't see no results. And I like what Outkast said. When I do put the seed down, I don't expect for it to happen right then. I just know that it got started. And it's just like if I didn't get started. Now they're starting to reach out, you know, and to ask for prayer, ask for a word and things like that. It's tough, man. It is not easy, brother. Believe me. You said it right. Definitely. Not easy, but what do you do?
Well, it's not.
How do you go? And I think that is very fitting for someone that's stuck. You know how you stuck in a situation and you can't get out, but you need someone to help you get out? Who's going to help me? I heard someone say, who's going to help me out of it? And you read the scripture, I think you said, Malachi 4 and 6, right?
Malachi 4 and 6, that's it.
Turn the heart of the parents to the children.
My Lord.
And the hearts of the children to their parents.
Back to their father.
Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse. In other words, nothing can be done when the land is struck with a curse, man.
But you know what, though? Reverend Waller.
Yes, sir.
Reverend Ducker, you mentioned war, right? The group war. You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
Living in the darkness. I'm a hole right there. And I heard my mother call.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember
that, That's right.
I know about that one, man. Goodness.
Look, Outkast, he paused. He said, I was living in the darkness.
And look how he done it. You know, that's real, man. It's still powerful in those words, man, you know, because that's exactly where it is. And it's happening right today. And it's something that can be done about it. That's what I like about it. And had I not experienced something was able to be done about it, then it would be like a waste of time to even talk about it. But since I know that it's a waste of time, you know, we have to stir it up, man, and that's where the solution come in at. And the time frame of it, you know, as I said, you know, I liked this part of when I went into the church buildings. I didn't have no Bible, and I didn't know what was going on. And I heard someone say, he may not come when you want him to.
But he's always on time, man.
When I dealt with that thing, man, I didn't have no knowledge about the Bible at all, and all I could think about was this heavy weight that I was carrying around, man. You know, with the streets just tearing me up, man. I mean, I'm being weighed down, and I'm like, okay, why not come right now? I mean, this stuff is killing me, you know. And but when it did come, man, you know, I never went back. So that's the beauty of it. You know, it's to prepare people for change. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Here's the catch. You say you may not come when you want them, right?
Right.
Here's the catch. He's always standing there waiting in line behind everything that your attention. He waits on you. To step up
always,
and to recognize.
That's right. And that's it. And that's the move right there. He's waiting, you know, waiting patiently. And then once you make that move, he's saying to you, so come on, try me. You know, he said, come on and try me. I mean, that's like, he's come unto me, all you that labor, you know, and our heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. And I'm sitting back there, you know, I done been in the street, the tough guy, you know, that ain't afraid of nothing, quote, you hear. And then all of a sudden, you get to some information that's going to help you, and I'm afraid. I mean, shaky. I mean, and everything else that fits in the rim of that. And one day I had to get bold enough and say, man, you done tried everything up under the sun, running, ducking, dodging, hiding from the police, you know, and all of that, man, putting drugs in you that's trying to destroy you. And you can't accept one extending a hand to you to help you to get free from it? Man,
bad as you are.
I got bold, brother. You know, I said, well, they just going to have to talk. I'm getting ready to keep moving. This is what I am, man. And that's what I did, brother. And, man, I'm glad I did, man. I'm telling you, it was a miserable life, man. Yeah. Excuse me, brother. Having all that money, you know, and all the materialistic things, man, I lived one of the most miserable lives, man, I ever lived in my life.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was a miserable life, man. And I'm not just saying it because I don't have any money now. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it, man, because it's the truth, man. That was a miserable life for many years, man. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, I was going. You said that and remind me of an experience when I was walking the beat at one of the prisons here in the state of Tennessee, and this young guy, you know, we both about the same age, Outkast. You understand what I'm saying? The only difference with us is the clothes I had on, the clothes he had on. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And
okay.
So little brother knew that I was a minister and everything. You know, he says, "Well, tell me right now, preacher man, what can I do to get myself right?" I said, "Well, you know, the bottom line is this ain't no quick fix, brother. This ain't no fly by night. You got to go deep. You got to go deep within yourself." And realize the stuff that you got to let go, my man. That's on you. I can't do that for you. That's between you and the Creator. See,
that's right.
The catch is that too many people have graduated. They have gotten their diploma and their degree in the wrong thing. Now you got to go back. I see why Nicodemus was confused. I see why Nicodemus was confused. When he asked, hook me up, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, hook me up. He said, no, partner, you got to be born again. What you mean? I got to go back to my mama's womb.
Yes,
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he tried to get it right, wasn't he? Yeah, I'll start over again.
Then Nicodemus went in his pocket and pulled out a water cap. I wasn't there, but I see him a sanctified him after this. He done pulled out some money, going to try to pay. He said, no, Nicodemus, you got to be born again.
That's it, brother.
You got to be renewed by your mind.
Yeah, that money's not gonna do it, man. You can't buy that for me, man. I was willing to give it up all I had, man. With a little bit I had left, man, I give it all up and gave it all up, man. And I tell you what, man, once I did that, man, the peace, the freedom, you know, the things the money couldn't buy started to show up, man. I had sleepless nights, man. I mean, I didn't go to sleep. I used to fall out. That you can't tell me that when I'm miserable. You know, I mean, that's every day, no sleeping. I mean, no tucking the pillow together. Just actually just fall out because I know the vice squad, the police, they get ready to come and kick the door down. Man, that was miserable. Man, listen, man.
That's what young Jesus said. I sleep when I die.
Yeah, man.
Right.
Goodness, man. And that's what it is, no sleep at all, man. You don't get no sleep when you're really playing the game. You ain't getting no sleep. You know, that's the thing that was so miserable. And see, here's this, listen to this, brother. My partner that was in the penitentiary for two life sentences, I used to go see him. And I remember, and then when he say something, man, I mean, I really, you know, I bat down when he say something, because I know he's coming with the real. He said, man, Rick, whatever you do, man, stay out of the penitentiary. Now, he's my friend.
Yes, sir.
And we friends. I mean, if I'm in the penitentiary, we really cool because we friends. We there. Man, he wanted to make sure I didn't come. And at that point, I couldn't go to sleep, man. I couldn't go to sleep. Right? That's why my life was miserable for all these years, man. Couldn't sleep. Sad. And, you know, and he said he thought he was going to never get out. So, you know, it's things like that, man. So it's hope for these young brothers. And then we just need to get some real valuable information out there to them. And you never know how fast one's going to turn around because they're in a deep trap right now. Deep trap.
I was talking to a director of a program in Miami, Florida. We're aiming to go to Liberty City over there in the Pork and Beans neighborhood. And he said to me, he says, do you really know where you're going, where you want to go? I said, yeah. I'm not sleeping about that, partner. You know, and his thing was that, you know, even as a director in that neighborhood, in that area, he's real careful about how. But you know, the catch is this: when you really think about it, you said it right, Pastor. There's a lot of fear and anxiety on part of these young cats because they put on a good front and they do a big bog, but they ain't even got no teeth.
Man, I'm telling you, it's terrible, man. Yes, sir, it is. It's terrible.
If you take that little pop pistol away from them, they ain't got nothing.
That's right, man. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Man. And they know it, and they're utilizing that. They're real tough, man, doing a lot of harm to each other as a result of that.
That's right.
They're not comfortable. There's no comfort in it. You know, it's all they're experiencing, for the most part, is gunning each other down. You know, not able to do the fist fight, and then, you know, whoever come out on top, or at least you live another day.
That's right.
It's like they're retaliating. Yeah, okay. You know, somebody say, man, he beat him down, so he's not going to just let that be. And all of a sudden, man, you know, they just end up with them guns, brother, and them guns is like, to them, that only what they know is what they're carrying out. But there's got to be a better way. We know that.
There is a better way. And that's what we're talking about tonight. You got the wrong graduation, but we're going to re-educate you. And we're going to let you graduate with something that's going to be useful to you. Let me bring in War here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Their song is entitled Four Cornered Room. And what they're describing is how they locked in their mind, and in their mind it's like bouncing off four walls in a dark room. When we come back on the other side, we'll chat about it.
For me, ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time, I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Darkrey. We're talking from the topic, The Wrong Sign of Graduation. You just heard War in My Four Cornered Room and a sample from Willie Bell, I Forgot to Be Your Lover, and Langston Hughes, where a mother was telling her son, don't give up. Don't keep your head down, but hold your head up and keep it moving. Keep it moving. Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Question: When do you become a man?
Man, that's good. Yeah, I think you put it right there. When do you become a man?
I'm gonna make it personal. Can I make it personal? Can I make it personal? When I get to be a man? Yeah.
When do I become a man? Can I become a man? Man, let me say this right here, if you will.
Okay.
I know the show ain't happening when you're 18 because no number. It's not because of
that
number. I know that. It's just a witness to my personal understanding of it. I definitely wasn't no man at 18. I thought I was a man a little younger than that, but and I noticed at the time, at the age of what they call 21, officially, you're a man. No, sir, brother, I was not a man because of my actions. That's how I found it. But I had to recall and discover that, though. You know, so as I look back over it, I'm 21, on up until I was 34, I soon discovered that I became a man. You know, because at first I was a child, I think as a child, I understood as a child, I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I recognized I started doing something different. because, you know, being in that trap, as I talked about, and diving, you know, identifying myself and doing all the things that I was doing, I actually thought I was a man. I thought that's what manhood was. And it wasn't my fault because I thought that. I just didn't know any better. I didn't get the right training. And, I can help someone else by letting them know just because you're 18 or 21, that did not determine that I was a man. I had to make it personal. So just in case somebody wanted to think, well, I am 18, I am a man. I'm 21, I'm a man. With no man in the house, I am a man. No, brother, look, I'm so glad to know that if I'm a man and I'm grown, and I'm going to use this great example, if you will, I have a drug habit. And I'm tired of this drug. So I'm just going to stop. Well, I'm grown. Okay. I should be able to stop. I'm 21.
You would think.
I guess that didn't work. I was still thinking like a child.
Wow.
You know, because I'm grown, I should have been able to make a grown man decision.
I see where you're going.
Now, that's why I say I'm personal with that thing. I don't try to tell nobody else whether they're grown or not, but I know good and well I was not grown. But when I turned 34, man, I popped my collar, man. I haven't done the drug since.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
Outcast, they ain't going to like me now.
Yes, sir.
Thing that is chronologically grown with a pair of britches on ain't a man. Uh-oh. I just said something right there. Everything that's chronologically grown, 21 or older, they got britches on. Maybe got a little bass in their voice. Got a little hair on their face. You understand? They ain't no man. They don't make you no man.
No, sir, brother.
I agree 100%. That was a negative. That is a true statement. You got men my age, older. They got numbers on them, but when it comes to the mind and things of that nature, nothing is there. You know, it's like being 2-3 years old, going back to, I don't mind, I hope you don't mind me adding this,
that's okay.
You have different levels of retardation, so, and I'll just stop there. I hope you don't get offended by my statement.
I'm going to tell you something, man. My dad, we buried him in February. He was 86. He would have been 87 if he'd have stayed around in May. Grew up down in the Delta region of Mississippi. In Hernando, that's where he was born. And we moved to Tupelo.
Hernando, Mississippi,
And look, his dad taught him at 6 years old how to hook a mule up to a plow and how to tread ground, right? And together, they can outdo anybody else on the plantation. And he felt like when he got up to big size that he was a man. You understand what I'm saying? And could nobody tell him nothing. understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, when I wrote my first book, Let Us Make a Goddamn Man, Antidotes for the Identity Crisis of the Afro Male, and then I wrote this workbook as a supplement to it. He read the manuscript, and he asked me simply, says, let me ask you a question. Now, you know, he's preached for 55 years or longer. He said, do you think you're better than everybody else?
Uh-uh.
I said, no, sir.
Uh-uh.
He said, now, I tried to keep you from going to some things, and of course, we didn't grow up together all the years of our life, but he was there at a pivotal time and left a good example and everything. He said, well, you know, it sounds like you think you're better. I said, no, sir. It's not that I'm better, Pastor Waller, but I pointed him to my son, his grandson. I said, I want him to be better than I was.
That makes sense.
And I want to improve from your mistakes and have him improve from my mistake so he don't have to make them, and he can be the best man out of all three of them. You understand what I'm saying?
Make a
That's what it's all about. That's
and
where it
and
is,
see,
right?
just as I don't mean to cut you off, but let me add this.
No,
this
no, go
is
ahead.
What
no, you good.
I always told my children, you know, be better than me. Go further than me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Be more educated.
That's right.
You know, be more flamboyant,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, you know.
That's what I strive for, you know? And I hope
mm-hmm.
so.
No, no, you make me. One thing about our white brothers and sisters, or particularly our white brethren, is the wealth principle is something that they instill, most of, not all of them, but those that are wealthy. They instill that in their children at birth, that what your grandparents, your great-grandparents gave me is yours, and I expect you to be a good steward of it when you come to be of age. See? And so they're already operating off of three generations of success.
Man.
That's what we got to teach our young cats. We got to teach our young guy, if you're lucky enough to whisper in a little gal's ear and tie her down, don't just play games with that thing, man. Build something out of it. And,
right.
look to establish an initial generation that three generations later, you can see the fruits of your labor.
I agree.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
and
you, did y'all know you can live forever? I wrote about this.
You
been
going back cooler?
Did y'all know you? Did you know you can live forever?
That's new.
Look
that
here.
Is good.
Let me show you how. When you establish the calling that God gave you, and you teach your children, and every time they pass that on to another generation, your name
right.
and reputation continues in the annals of history.
Yeah,
no, your physical
I agree.
Men don't live forever, but your name and your reputation can live as long as your offspring live.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. That's a good move. It's a foundation, I believe, that's in
yes,
steel.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, just rooted and grounded, huh?
Tell you what the man asked him, and then what he want. It was, I want to live forever. And he was the one dying. Yeah, cool it high. Be quiet.
Yeah, forever,
I
want to
live
man.
Forever.
Nothing wrong with that, man. There's nothing
so,
wrong with that.
Manhood starts with responsibility. When you recognize what's yours and what you're accountable for, and you deal with that and you handle your business, you're a man then. You're a man then. That's my position now. That's my position.
That's
somebody might challenge that, but that's where I am.
You know, there's really no challenge there. You know, you have a lot of grown mm-hmm. men, our age and older, still lying up and high with mom. Mm-hmm. And they call themselves a man. Won't work, won't do
wow.
anything, you know. And then
wow.
the ones that do work, they go out and, you know, mess up their money and things. And they say, yet and still, you still tell me you're a man. No, 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 you're not a man, you know. You're still a child, you know.
Right.
I consider myself as being a man when I got married, got me a job working 8, 10, and 12 hours a day, coming home paying bills, rearing my children, you know. This is when I became a man. You know,
right?
I hope.
Will y'all give me permission?
I might get
some
rebuttal though. You know, I hope.
Okay. Will y'all give me permission to talk straight tonight? We got about 10 more minutes. Can I talk straight for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're a brother, and your coexistence depend, what I mean by coexistence, a roof over your head, food in your belly, clothes on your back, candy if you like it. Depends on your mama, your grandmama, your baby mama, your freak, or anybody like that, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You're in trouble. Because the minute they leave, you're in trouble. Right? And what we have to teach
yes, sir.
Is for our, and see, I keep saying young because guys, whatever we done messed up now, we should try to fix it. But they don't need to be trying to compete with these young cats. Let's give them a clean slate. We got to teach them to establish themselves on principle and action such that they can avoid these type of, I mean, again, I'm going back to the topic of the show here. You know, you got people out there wanting them to go out there and physically exert energy against a statue. Who cares about a statue, man? One of these young kids died in the
suit. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? They're killing one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
Pathetic.
Go ahead.
And you know, I mean, it's a statue and a flag. When I look at that flag, which you educated yourself, Reverend Doctor Young, and you know where I'm coming from. That flag changed designs several times, and I think the first battle flag, it's in a museum. See, they changed those flags because they didn't want, the two to get mixed up. So they were continuously changing. But,
well,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. The first flag only had 13 stars because there were only 13
right.
colonies. And
that's
as
right.
they gained more colonies, they added more stars. And Betsy Ross
right.
had a bright idea. Betsy Ross had a bright idea. Let's make a flag that is encompassing of all of the United States. You know, let's understand they were British first before they broke off and established
yes,
themselves.
Sir.
As a, you know, but the point is I understand that when you think about it, it can remind you of some really tough things, right? The bad things that happen, but you can't live there. You got to keep it moving.
Do you not
you
think that rather than yes, sir? But do you not think that rather than them out there fighting and killing one another, take it to the bone boot?
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Right? And not only to the vote booth, but start yourself a business. Get yourself some business, man. You know what I mean? While you out there wasting time getting musty in the street, what have you done for yourself that you can see 10 years from now?
Wow.
Nothing.
That's the truth.
Nothing.
Wow.
But you can die in just a heartbeat out in the street. You ain't done nothing, though, to establish yourself 10 years from now.
But when you
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor.
When you're stuck and you don't have the knowledge of it.
Yep.
That's it right there.
It's something that's established. It's built. And once you're stuck and don't know you're stuck, as you move on in life, you don't even know you're stuck. At least I did.
Right, sir.
And that's right. You know, that's why I ended up like I did, man. Because I was stuck.
You know, you know something, Pastor?
Yeah.
And I do this with my own son. Occasionally I check in with him. And I ask him, what have you done in the last week or the last month that's going to get you where you say you want to be 10 years from now? And so far, he's been able to give me a pretty good account of his time and what he's been doing. That's what we got to get these young guys. No, that's what we got to get these young guys. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason
agree.
I brought that up. Because we've got
like
to say to them, look them in their eyes and say, son, if you don't manage your time right, you can waste it. And it'll never come back to you again.
That's right. Wasted time, that's all it is. It don't make no flowers grow. That's what it says. It don't make no flowers grow. I was like, wow. Man, think if I knew that back then. You know,
Lord,
wasted. And it don't make no flowers grow. I think that's amazing, man.
That's amazing.
But not for those who wait too late. We got to go for all we know.
I love it.
Well, the eclipse is over, and as you stated, they're going to go back to the statue. Things that they mentioned, then you got politicians, you know, they're grandstanding, you know, they're mustering, you know, getting ready for the next election. Well, I was against this and I was against that. But I asked either one of them, did that get rid of bigotry? Did that get rid of racism?
It really did.
But you got it next year, right? From that next time, try to run on something else.
going to try to run on the cliffs the next time.
Well, maybe somebody ought to run on the eclipse. I don't know, man. You know, but the truth is that when you really understand the history of America and American politics, you understand that, you know, a lot of us black folk who have been supportive of Democratic Party, truth is Andrew Jackson kicked that thing off in 1834, man. And that's who really... who tried to keep slavery alive and all the
exactly.
negative injustice that went along with it.
Exactly.
You know.
But
so.
But he's on that money, though, right?
Huh?
He's on that money, too, right?
That's the only thing I want some of them dead presidents, man. Don't talk to me about that.
I'm going to be quiet. Let me be quiet.
No, you all right. Look, we got 3 minutes, brother. Wrap us up here fast a while before we get out. Hey, how did the show go today? Tell us about the show over on WVOL.
Oh, man, it was nice, man. It was great. I think it was very instrumental. You know, it was knowledgeable. And I think I really appreciate she gave me a chance to call. She gave me a chance to bring what it is that I had done for me. For the most part, and I think it was a plus for me, man. I think I needed it, and I was going at it, and she was allowing me to carry it out. And then suddenly, you know, I was trying for a break. Man, I was so glad because she was so
mm-hmm.
humble to be able to
mm-hmm.
allow me to extend some information out to the people. And
okay.
she said, well, if we just pause for a minute, we can take a break, and we just... grateful to know what you have brought forth, and we're going to have you to continue. And I thank you. I'm so grateful for the break, you know. And I just thank God, man, that it was such a great opportunity to put something out there that was positive. And plus, someone got something out of it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
so thank you for asking.
Excellent. Well, we'll be sure to let us know about any upcoming things there, future things, so we can continue to tune in there. We're down to just about our last 2 minutes here. I'm going to take a time here to, again, encourage you to go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com, and when you get there, go to the Contact Us page, and scroll down, you'll see contribution page, but the back store. Stop at that back store. And when you get to that back store, you'll find some things here. Pastor Waller, tell us about the item, Steel High. That's one of the things you'll find in the back store. Tell us about Steel High right quickly.
Yeah, Steel High is a book that God blessed me to put out, and doing all I can do to help people. And you can find that book interesting only if you purchase it.
Okay.
It was a tip about, you know, how I was captured, you know, and how I got free, you know, to find anything in between it if you would find it interesting. And I just want you to be encouraged to get it. Steel High means that you don't have to get high anymore, and I think the people deserve that type of high. One more thing about that is that getting high has become old, and we have to do a new thing now. Most people don't know anything about high by way of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, five days a year. That's for how I think our people deserve. So get the book.
All right.
Where you're finding
Right. Also, you'll find there on that page the workbook that we work from tonight, Framework for Fatherly Instruction, Understand the Male Growth Process. It's accompanied by an audio CD and some other instructional tools on there. Again, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Doc. We're grateful to have Brother Outcast with us tonight, as well as Pastor Ricky Waller, our regular panelists, and you, our listening audience. We'll be back Thursday night, 7:00 p.m. Join us for another episode of Talk Straight, and we sign off tonight with this.
Amen.
Just